Over 400 years ago, one man was brave enough to defy the rulers of the world. On a flight of stairs, he changed the course of history and altered the destiny of millions who live today. Stay tuned for the amazing facts. Hello, this is Joe Cruz on the Amazing Facts broadcast, facts which affect you. In our last broadcast, we followed the path of apostasy from the truth, that which had been delivered to the apostles. Our broadcast ended with Constantine, the first Christian emperor of the Roman Empire, and under his program to popularize Christianity, some terrible compromises were made, and paganism stepped right into that early church. This is the way it's described for us by Dr. J.C. Woodhouse in his book, Annotations on the Apocalypse. He says, quote, "As the stream of Christianity flowed further from the pure fountain, it became more and more corrupt. As centuries advanced, ignorance and superstition increased, and unauthorized mortifications and penances, rigorous fasting, vows of celibacy, the jargon and repetition of prayers not understood, tales of purgatory, worship of saints, relics and images took the place of the pure, simple Christianity, until at length the Book of God, being laid aside for legendary tales and the traditions of men, all these corruptions were collected into a regular system of superstitious oppression." End of quotation. So, according to the words of history, we find during this period that error came rushing in like a flood into the church. One after another of the pure teachings of Jesus were laid aside for the doctrines of men. The church, having laid aside the word of God, became the official decider of right and wrong and truth and error. All that the church branded as error now became known as heresy, and those who held on to it were known as heretics. Some 50 million people lost their lives during this period known as the Dark Ages. But as long as the Word of God was available, there were those who determined to study it and follow it. Finally, in the year 1220 A.D., the Church made the decree that no one could study the Word of God under penalty of death. The Bible was chained to the library and the monastery, and only a selected few were permitted by the Church to have access to the Word of God. But thank God there were those who continued to follow the clear Bible truth. Those were the days of the Albigenses and the Huguenots and the Waldenses and other groups. Those were days of great persecution when men and women were hiding out in the caves and the rocks and the mountains. And there, laboriously copying the Word of God in longhand and then hiding it in the seams of their garments, they would go down to the communities in the valleys and go from door to door posing as salesmen. They cared not whether they sold their wares or not, but they were looking for individuals who were interested in the study of God's Word. And when they found them, they would slit the linings of their garments and pull out those sacred pages and give them away. If you go up in the mountains of France, you can see those stone caves and those stone tables. You see the indentations in the rock where their hands, hour after hour, wore away the stone as they copied the Word of God in longhand. From this darkness, from this buried depth of superstition and ignorance as far as God's Word is concerned, God set His hand to lead back a people to the full understanding of Bible truth. We call it the Protestant Reformation. It was on one October afternoon over 400 years ago that a young monk named Martin Luther, a single lonely friar, nailed a document at the door of the old Wittenberg Church that ignited one of the greatest religious explosions in history, the Protestant Reformation. Protestant, because it was protesting against everything contrary to the Word of God. Actually, a man by the name of John Wycliffe was the morning star of the Reformation. And what did he do? Wycliffe translated the Bible into the language of common men. He translated the Word of God and placed it in their hands. As he did, reforms began to take place. Wherever God's Word is to be found, reformation will always follow. The second step was that by a man named Huss. John Huss in Switzerland was the founder of the United Brethren Church, or the Church of the Brethren. He said that the Bible is infallible. God's Word is infallible. It's true. Martin Luther said, "We must have faith in God's Word, believing whatever God said." Martin Luther was climbing on his knees up the Holy Stair, or the Scala Sancta. And I was there, by the way, visited that place and walked up those same stairs and saw where Luther had been climbing and doing penance for his sin. But as he was going up those stairs, on his hands and knees, suddenly the Word of God came across the screen of his mind. the just shall live by faith. Well, he said, if it's by faith, then I don't need to do these works of penance to gain forgiveness. And he got up from his knees and walked down those stairs and began to preach the word of God. Step by step, God was leading back to the full Bible message. The next step was taken by a man named John Calvin. He brought the step of free grace, the power of God, which is given by grace to enable man to be obedient to the word of God. And the next step was John Knox, founder of the Presbyterian Church in Scotland. Obedience to the word of God is what he added to this chain of recovery. The tragedy of it all is this, friends. Men contented themselves to follow the teachings of these men and to follow the teachings brought by the great reformers. Now, God could not allow the full light of Bible truth to shine on them all at one time, and it would have completely discouraged the people had it taken place like that. But these people gathered around the reformers and said, "We want to do like them. We want to follow the doctrines that these men have brought to light." And so they drew their lines, which kept them from going on further in the unfolding light of revelation and reformation. Have you ever been in a dark room where it's absolutely pitch black? You're in there for a couple of hours and suddenly somebody comes and snaps on the light. How much can you see? Well, nothing, of course. The light blinds you. It's so bright. But if a little light comes on, and then a little more, and a little more, and then it gets brighter and brighter, you're able to see all the way through. Now, the Bible says that that's the way it should be with Christians. In Proverbs 4:18, God says, "But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day." So, friends, there it is. It'll get brighter and brighter until the day that Jesus comes, that perfect day. Now, this matter of following great men is nothing new, of course. Did you know that one of the problems of the church was this very same problem? In 1 Corinthians 3:3, Paul says, "Ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal?" You see, friends, somebody asked a group of people over here, "Who are you?" And they say, "Oh, we're Paulites. We follow Paul." And somebody asked another group over there, "Who are you?" And they say, "Oh, we're Apollosites. We follow Apollos." Another group over here says, "We're Peterites. We follow Peter." But Paul says, "Listen, wait a minute. Who is this Paul? Who is this Apollos? Who is Peter? Are they not ministers by whom ye believed?" And friends, isn't that the very thing that's happening today? Somebody asks a group over here, "Who are you?" And they say, "We're Hussites. We follow Huss." Another group is asked, "Who are you?" They reply, "We're Lutherans. We follow Luther." But God says, "No, follow Jesus Christ. Follow the Word of God. Follow His teachings. And I'm going to lead you right back," He says, "to the full Bible truth." Well, it was John Robinson, pastor of the Pilgrim Fathers, a man with terrific insight into God's Word, who made this statement. And I don't have it all right here, but I want to give just a little bit of it, because this man left Holland to come over here to this country, and as he addressed those early inhabitants of our country, he said this, "Follow me no further than I've followed the Lord Jesus, for I believe that there is yet added light to break forth from the Holy Word. Be as ready to receive anything from any other instrument of His as ever you were to receive it from my ministry." End of quotation. Now, wasn't that a wonderful statement to make, friends? And of course it's true. We ought to be looking for the truth. It doesn't matter what the instrument is, but we want to know that it's founded on the plain, "Thus saith the Lord." All right, let's move along now in our study of the history of the church. And we come to the next step, and the man now is John Wesley, the founder of the great Methodist Church. And he brought in the teaching of the new birth. Man must be born again. Then Roger Williams appeared on the scene with his concepts of religious freedom and Bible baptism, a baptism, by the way, that had been dropped out. Somewhere along in the 11th century, it had been lost, and now it's restored again, the true Bible way of baptizing. You see, friends, sprinkling never was scriptural. It never has been, and it certainly wasn't practiced by the early church until about the 11th century. In fact, even the Catholic Church practiced baptism by immersion until the 10th or 11th century. But now, friends, that truth was restored through the teachings of Roger Williams and the Baptist Church. Now, we still have one step to take in talking about the recovery of the truth and the restoring of the Word of God. This is the last step, friends, of the Protestant Reformation, that which started out in the very depths of darkness, leading men and women back up to the full Bible knowledge of truth. Here is the last step found in Isaiah 58, verse 1. God says, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins." Now this is a message, friends, that's to go with power. It is to go with authority, and it's to show the people their sins. Notice what this last step is, friends. We're reading now from verse 12. "They that shall be of thee," that is of God, "shall build the old waste places." Oh, you see, they're going to build up that which has been torn down. "They that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach." Now listen, friends, a breach is a separation, a break in the wall or a break in the path, and that's what we have here. This is a path leading up, ever upward, and then there's a break. "And thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in, if..." Now, whatever follows that little two-letter word, friends, wherever you find this in the Bible, it's vitally important. If. God says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. But here he says, "Thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord." Now, friends, listen. The Protestant Reformation, which had its beginnings down there in the days of Wycliffe and Huss and Jerome and the others, that Reformation continues right up to our day. And the final step in the Great Reformation is the recovery and restoration of God's day, His holy Sabbath, and the thinking of His people. Now, will you notice one thing? The steps overlap, of course. The path is connected. But to remain on one level is to lapse ultimately back into darkness. For the Bible says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. 1 John 1:7. God doesn't want us to stand still. He wants us to move upward and go forward in laying hold of all the truth and light that comes to our attention. And friends, we're trying to bring back again all the Bible doctrines. The Sabbath is one that has been greatly neglected for a long time. That's why I've mentioned it here as one of the final steps in the Reformation, the great Protestant Reformation, because it was lost back there during those early centuries, and now it must be restored in these final hours of Earth's history. And now, this is Joe Cruz saying goodbye for today.